The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back, Red Sox fans. We have a big show for you tonight. I'm Nick the Voice, joined by Charlie Smith, Jason Kelly, Jeremy Schilling, Chris Felico, and Terry Cushman Jr. We are the Bastards of Boston, and we are doing our 2026 annual predictions. We're going to be going through the division winners, a couple award winners, and finally a World Series matchup for this baseball season. This will be a long one, so buckle in, grab a snack, get cozy. We're going to kick it off with the American League division winners, jumping right into it with Charlie Smith. What do you see for the outcome for this season?
I think this is going to be a boring take, but I don't think I'm going to be the only one with this. I think the Toronto Blue Jays are going to be smashing a lot of people. And we saw a lot of what's to come forward in 2026 based on what we saw in the World Series. A lot of players that were either no-namers and or borderline considered irrelevant players. You got the Ernie Clements, who are on another level. Addison Barger, he also blew up. You have Vlad Guerrero. Even though Bo Bichette is no longer there, I'm still terrified of that team. They upgraded in the starting pitching category. They have an elite bullpen. This is one of the few teams that if you're a member of the Boston Red Sox, you're going, damn it, I really don't want to face this team. So for all the reasons that I think a lot of people are going to be mentioning, there are a few glaring holes, even though I'm not a huge fan of their catcher. He's still a much better option than a lot of other teams. So, yeah, Toronto Blue Jays, nice and easy.
So I'm going to differ a little bit from that. I got the Orioles winning the East. I just think that they did more in the offseason than Toronto did. I mean, Toronto lost Bo Bichette, and they really didn't go out and replace his production. I think they're kind of hoping that Anthony Santander gives them a much better year, you know, in year two over there. But I don't think you can count on that. I know they added Dylan Cease. That's a big arm, big contract for him, certainly. But he's kind of up and down. He can be Jekyll and Hyde. So, you know, and they still got Max Scherzer in the rotation. Like, if you're relying on 42-year-old Max Scherzer to win you important games, that's kind of a problem. Meanwhile, Baltimore added Pete Alonso, who we all wanted, and they scooped him out from under us. They went out and got Shane Baz, who I know has some injury history, but he was a top arm in the Rays system for years. Like, if he can stay healthy and give them, you know, a lot of innings, that's going to really improve their starting rotation. They've got this Samuel Basalo. Like, they have, like, you know, a wealth of riches at catcher. They got Adley Rutschman. Now they've got this Basalo kid who's 21 and just jacks homers. Not, you know, just has absolute raw power. So I think their lineup's going to be much better. I think their rotation got a little bit better. And I just think that, you know, last year was a little bit of a blip on the radar. This is still a team on the rise. And I think it's all going to come together for them this year. So I got the Orioles winning the East.
Yeah, respectfully, I think Baltimore is a loser franchise. And I do think they have improved their talent quite a bit. But I'd like to see them ascend, kind of like the Red Sox did last year, before I would be ready to pick them. So no offense, Jason, but I just – you don't go from loser franchising to winning the AL East where it's as loaded as this division is. I'm also not going to go Toronto. Toronto and New York had the same exact record last year, and Toronto got hot, and we all know pushed it right, you know, to the end, and were a couple outs away from winning the whole thing. But I still think for regular season, I think it's the Yankees division to lose. They're getting Garrett Cole back. They got a full season. Settle down, Charlie. All right. It's not that bold. But I'm going the Yankees. I think they're committed to winning. I think they'll make a move at the deadline that gets them over the hump, and they'll win the AL East.
So I'm a mixture between Jason and Jeremy. I'll be a little bit more polite to the Baltimore Orioles than Jeremy was. I think they are by far the most improved team in the AL East. But I would agree with the sentiment that I don't think you go from where they were to, you know, closing that gap so quickly. But they could surprise everyone. Like, it wouldn't shock me. But I do agree. I have the New York Yankees winning the AL East because, I mean, listen, they're the masters of just feasting on bad teams. And there's enough bad teams in the AL, in the MLB, that they are going to just crush it. I look at last year, they finished in a tie with Toronto, and I agree with Jason. I think, I don't know if Toronto's done enough to mitigate some of the losses, whether it be Bo Bichette, et cetera. And the Yankees are getting back Gerrit Cole. They're essentially the same team, and that same team tied the Toronto Blue Jays. So to me, I think Gerrit Cole's worth one extra win.
So I'll start off by saying I think the Yankees, Blue Jays, or Orioles are acceptable choices here, and I'm not sure one is a slam dunk favorite over the other three. But I do love the additions of Pete Alonso, and one guy Jason didn't mention was Taylor Ward, who hit 36 home runs last year, just over 100 runs batted in. I'd like to see the batting average come up a little bit, but he's finally going to be in a situation where he can win. I don't love the Orioles rotation, though. I mean, Trevor Rogers, Kyle Bradish, Shane Baz, they're going to need him to have the best season of his career. Chris Bassett is very reliable. And Zach Eflin, probably not the worst number five starter you could trot out there. But I just think there's going to be a new energy, relatively new manager. And the Blue Jays would probably be my second favorite here, but I think the Dylan Cease deal is going to blow up in their face. I don't really trust Shane Bieber, but they could get some big, supplemental support from Addison Barger, Ernie Clement, who I was very impressed with last year, but they didn't adequately replace Bo Bichette. So I'm gonna give the edge to the team that did reinforce their offense, and that's the Orioles.
For me, I am going with the Toronto Blue Jays, who last year I was a hardcore skeptic of until they finally shoved it in my face along with a lot of other deniers. This year, I'm not going to bet against them, plain and simple. I really like that Vlad and Kirk duo they have to anchor the lineup. Cease and Gausman, I do believe, are going to form a pretty strong front of the rotation, and I like a lot of the names that they have in the bullpen. This is a team that I think can survive a few things going wrong. A few other teams in the division and in the league as a whole maybe can't. It's going to be a tight one, I think. I can very much predict that the Blue Jays, the Yankees, even the Red Sox and Orioles, they're probably going to be playing musical chairs a lot. But at the end of this whole melee, I've got to go with the Toronto Blue Jays standing atop the wreckage. Let's switch now to the Central. Charlie, back to you.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't like a me trying to take a homer take here, but or have a homer take, but Terry's boy is going back to Detroit. So why not Detroit, right, guys? This is the most insane like situation for Detroit that they possibly can have. Verlander hasn't pitched for the team in like 10 years. He's 43 years old. He's been pitching for over 20 years. You have the AL reigning Cy Young, my opinion, second best pitcher in the American League at the helm of your entire rotation. You bolstered your rotation as well by adding Framber Valdez. So you got Skubal, you got Valdez, Flaherty's there, Verlander's there. I don't remember who their fifth starter is, but it doesn't matter. Really, it's between them and Kansas City. I don't think any other team can hold a candle to either one of them. But for all the reasons of that rotation, Tarik Skubal's going to win 20 games. Framber's probably going to come close, probably win 17 to 20. Flaherty's going to be in that 15 to 17 range. And just like that, you've won 50 to 55 games between three people. You just need to find a way to win another 35 or more. And I think they can do it. I think Kerry Carpenter is going to take a step up. I think Riley Green is one of the best players, not just on the Tigers, but in the American League. I'm curious to see what Vierling does, if he can take a step up as well. So, Tigers for me. I think this one could be the slam dunk in the American League.
Yeah, I agree with Charlie. I'm taking the Tigers as well. This is pretty much just a two-horse race in this division between the Tigers and the Royals. I mean, the Twins are in rebuild mode. The White Sox are in, you know, an eternal rebuild. And the Guardians just decided not to spend any money. And it's basically just Jose Ramirez trying to drag that team to the playoffs every single year. And it's just not going to work. So I think the Tigers also have the best manager in that division. You know, you got AJ Hinch at the helm. You know, you're going places. So Charlie made a lot of great points. Adding Framber Valdez is huge. I don't love the Verlander addition, but they kind of had to do something because they're going to be without Reese Olson all year, which really, you know, he's a good young pitcher for them. Jackson Jobe is still recovering from Tommy John. Not sure what they're going to get out of him. He's one of their best young arms as well. I think they just have a good mix of young guys who are really starting to come into their own, like Riley Green, Kerry Carpenter, and some good solid veterans to put around them. Guys like Javi Baez, who, weirdly enough, they moved him to center field and he had one of the best years of his career since going to Detroit. So I don't know if he'll be able to repeat that. That might have been fool's gold, but they've just got a really solid lineup, really solid rotation, and a good bullpen. They added Kenley, you know, as their closer, so he's still pretty reliable, even at his age. I just think the Royals aren't going to have enough to keep up. I don't know if they're going to be able to score enough runs. I know Pasquantino's a really good player. Caglione's a really good player. But I look at their rotation, and it's like Seth Lugo, like you're still relying on him. Michael Wacha, you're still relying on him. These are guys that are kind of starting to reach that age where they might start to drop off a little bit. You don't know what you're going to get out of Cole Reagan since he was hurt most of last year. So just too many question marks for me for the Royals. I think the Tigers are just really well put together. So I think they'll win the division pretty easily.
Yeah, the Central stinks, and they stunk last year. And Detroit really should have won the division and just completely folded down the stretch. I don't think that's going to happen again. I'm surprised AJ Hinch managed team did that. But you have Skubal coming on a contract year. He's going to be a maniac. He's obviously locked in on getting a very lucrative deal, which is why he didn't pitch again for Team USA. I think he's the best pitcher in the American League. I think he's going to absolutely shove in a contract year. I'm not going to go up and down the roster like you guys did since you've already hit it. But to me, Detroit's the best team in a really bad division with a lot of these teams not getting better. Chicago's not trying. Minnesota's ownership doesn't have any money and sold everyone but Joe Ryan. Cleveland, like you mentioned, hasn't done anything. And, you know, love Bobby Witt Jr. I think he's one of the best players in baseball, but he's not enough to carry a team. It's just not how it's going to play out. So I have Detroit easily winning this division.
Yeah, I mean, I've got Detroit winning this division for all the reasons everyone said as well. I mean, the Kansas City Royals just haven't done enough for me to try and close that gap. I think if they had made a couple of moves and if everything were to go right, especially with Cole Reagans and his, you know, injury, I think they could challenge the Tigers in the right situation. But I just think Tariq Skubal is going to be a man possessed this season, looking to get that money, even if it's not in Detroit, but from someone. So I've got the Tigers for all those reasons.
Well, I'm going to be the first one to break the mold here. With the Tigers, they have a great 1-2 punch, as you guys have noted, with Skubal and Valdez. Not sure what Flaherty has left. I'm not even sure what Justin Verlander has left. He's, as Charlie alluded to, my favorite non-Red Sox player of all time. Casey Mize finally took a step forward last year, but it's not like it was a big one. And then when I'm going through their lineup, I mean, the only hitter I really love that's in there is Riley Green. Kerry Carpenter, when healthy, hits lefties very good, but he's more of a platoon guy. Spencer Torkelson, you know, he can crush some, but not really a high average guy. And then you've got just guys like Colt Keith, Kevin McGonigal, Wenzel Perez, Parker Meadows. I don't think that's enough. And, you know, at this point, like, even if you do like him to win the division, like, shame on Detroit for not, you know, supplementing this team with, you know, with some better offense throughout the winter. I like the Valdez move, but not enough. And then when you switch over to the Royals here, you got three guys that are going to hit 30. Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez, Bobby Witt Jr. Then you've got some decent, you know, guys, not so much for power, but productive bats like Mikel Garcia, who just got an extension. Isaac Collins, is coming off of a very good year. Caglione, as Jason mentioned, I just think that's a much better balanced offense. And while Waka, Lugo, and I'm not familiar with Noah Cameron, while their ceilings aren't high, I don't think the floors are particularly very low either. And they have Nick's favorite pitcher, Chris Bubich, you know? So anyway, I'm not saying they're the slam dunk favorite either, but I don't like the way Detroit finished the season last year. And I don't think they put nearly enough effort into building this 2026 roster. So I'm going to give it to the Royals.
Yeah, I think that's an incredibly valid take. I'm a big fan of a lot of what the Royals are doing. But despite that, I have to go with the Tigers winning the division in what I think will be it's going to be one of those races. I don't see any of the teams in that division winning 90 necessarily. The Tigers are a good team, but a flawed team, like you guys pointed out. You know, they didn't do quite what I would have liked to have seen, but it's hard to bet against that Scooble Valdez 1-2 punch. I think that overall they are a more stable bet, but I don't disagree that the Royals maybe have a bit of a higher ceiling, especially with those walls moving in. They're doing that for a reason. Let's go around now to the West.
Okay, guys, everyone's sitting. This is a good thing.
He's going to pick Oakland. Here it comes.
No. Years ago, I got Raz for picking the same team 3 years in a row.
Oh, no.
I'm glad you guys are sitting. And I picked the Angels. And the reason for that being was I really thought they had it. You know, they've got, oh, my God, who do we have on that team besides Mike Trout that's actually relevant? Joe Adell is someone that's got 30 home run power. They have a decent rotation. I like Kikuchi. Jose Soriano, not going to get it done. Grayson Rodriguez is going to be that kind of Cinderella story. He's finally going to get an opportunity after Baltimore kind of dumped him for nothing. Alek Manoah, who I can't stand, is there. And for all those reasons, right there alone, that's why they're not going to win. This is going to be Seattle's easily. It's so obvious. It's insane. This is like Detroit here. Look at the rotation that Seattle had. They're serious about contending. They re-signed Josh Naylor. They gave him a commitment. They know that they're not going anywhere. I think Julio Rodriguez is actually going to take a step up. We kind of saw him tail off over the past couple of years, but there was some kind of fire that happened in him around the All-Star break. And I think they're going to see a rejuvenated J-Rod in 2026. That rotation is absolute fire. If they're firing all cylinders and no one's hurt, that is an absolutely lethal 1-2-3. You have Gilbert, you have Wu, you have Kirby, and that's just those three. You're not even talking about the bullpen or the fact that you've got arguably the best offensive catcher we've seen since Mike Piazza. I don't know what else you can say. This team is going to be absolutely insane. Seattle.
Yeah, so in contrast to the American League Central, I think the American League West is actually one of the more interesting divisions in baseball this year because really all those teams could compete. I mean, the Angels are definitely the worst team in that division, but they're not like the White Sox. And, you know, they're still better than them. I think the Athletics are very interesting. I think they're going to surprise a lot of people this year. They've got some really serious bats in that lineup. Nick Kurtz might be an MVP candidate this year at 21 years old. Like, their prospects are really good. The Rangers are still going to be good. That rotation is solid. That offense is solid. And then you've got Houston. Houston just never seems to go away, even though their players are aging and they lost Framber Valdez. They've lost some other guys, but they're still going to hang around. But I'm with Charlie. It's Seattle's division to lose because, frankly, I think Seattle's the best team in the American League. I think they might be the only team in the American League that gets to 90-plus wins. That rotation, plus what they added on offense, adding Josh Naylor, adding Brendan Donovan, who we thought might be a Red Sox at one point this winter, adding Rob Refsnyder, just you know, an extra kind of lefty killer piece that they can implement. I think the combination of their offense with that rotation and probably the best closer in the game, Andrés Muñoz, on the back end. It's going to be hard to stop Seattle this year. And I think the only thing that can stop them is themselves because kind of to Jeremy's point about the Orioles, the Mariners are kind of a loser franchise. Like, haven't won. You know, they had that historic year, what was it, 2000, where they won like over 100 games and got swept. Yeah, got swept by the Yankees. Like, that's kind of their history. So the only thing that can stop the Mariners is themselves. But I think this is the year that they'll finally get past that, and they'll shake that off, and they'll win the West, I think, pretty easily.
Yeah. So to piggyback off the end of Jason's take, is they did what I think the Orioles are going to need to do this year, which is they won 90 games last year. They proved that they could win that division and they could go and be competitive in the offseason. So I think they are one of the best teams in the American League. And I think they are a team that could potentially represent the AL in the World Series for the honor of getting smoked by the Dodgers. There was an interesting thing that happened in the WBC for those that were watching that tournament. Randy Arozarena came up to the plate and tried to dap up Cal Raleigh, and Cal Raleigh wanted nothing to do with that. And then Arozarena handled it with the utmost class and maturity in the post-game locker room. I'm kidding. He kind of lost it a little bit. So I haven't heard anything since. I assume they got back to camp and kind of made amends. And these things happen in clubhouses and in teams all the time, and we don't hear about them. This one just played out on an international stage. But I think it's Seattle's division, and I think we're going to be saying that for a few years to come. So I'm going to go with the Mariners.
Yeah, I've got Seattle as well. I mean, they have the best rotation arguably in that division from top to bottom. They still got Cal Raleigh. And what I like that they did is that they identified that Naylor was a part of their future pretty quickly after trading for him. And they had the conviction and made that deal. I also don't think losing Eugenio Suarez is a big loss. I'm not really high on him. I just think top to bottom, they've got best rotation, the most lethal lineup. Again, yeah, the Astros, they're a team that just always seems to hang around. I think the A's are going to be fun. But I do think it is I think it's the Mariners division.
I can't break the mold on this one. I think as far as vibes go and as far as like community excitement, you know, Seattle's the party town this year for Major League Baseball. It just seems like they're a very exciting team. They're a very well-balanced team. They do have the best rotation in the American League with Gilbert, Kirby, Wu. Who's to say Wu isn't the best pitcher on that staff right now? And then Castillo and Miller in the back end. I will say this, though. I think the Athletics probably have the most potent offense in the division with Langeliers, Kurtz. They have Jeff McNeil now. They have Max Muncy 2.0. I say that because he's not the Dodgers' Max Muncy. Crazy that there's two people in MLB with that name that are not related to each other. Jacob Wilson, Tyler Soderstrom, maybe Denzel Clark is finally he's finally a weak bat compared to all the rest. And then you have Lawrence Butler, Brent Rooker. That is a very potent offense. And it's almost a shame that I know they're a much lower market team than the Tigers are, but if they would have just added one significant arm to go with Severino, Springs, Lopez, who knows? You know, there could have been some upset potential there, especially in that minor league park, but got to give it to the Mariners.
And I am not making any surprises here. The Mariners are going to win it this year without question. Like you pointed out, I mean, that rotation is absolutely ridiculous. I would say probably that Wu is the best pitcher out of that staff. That is just an absolute three-headed monster, solid back end. And I mean, Munoz and Brash coming out in the pen. This is a lights out team. They're built to win. They've got run prevention, both defensively and just on pure stuff. And that offense is going to be elevated by Cal Raleigh and J-Rod. I mean, that is a ridiculous 1-2 punch. Again, I mentioned Kirk and Vladdy before for the Blue Jays. I think this one is arguably even better. No surprises here as we go with the Mariners winning the West. Now that we have all three of our division winners in the American League stated out in the open, that means that there are three wild card spots to go through. I think that there's going to be some similar names on this list. Probably a lot of people who didn't have certain teams winning the division. Other people did. I imagine we're going to have a lot of those in similarity on the wild card. Let's start it off with Charlie, the wild card winners for the American League.
Yeah, I had to think about this one, and I'm not sure how I want to land on it as far as what order, but I think if I did, I'm going to say the Yankees get the first wild card. I'm just going to go upset special. I could be completely wrong here, but you know what? Why the hell not? Oakland will get the second one. Let's just make it interesting for baseball's sake. And then for the third one, I do think, you know, it pains me to not include the Guardians here. I just don't know if they're going to have the same level of steam as they had in 2025. I mean, without that crazy win streak, they're not there. There's no chance. So I think it's going to go Yankees, Oakland, and then Royals. For a lot of the reasons that we talked about before, you know, a lot of players that are coming back to the Yankees are now going to be healthy. I am curious to see how the Royals do, because Salvador Perez is still one of the better catchers in baseball, but he is getting older. So I'm not sure if he's going to have the same level of like prolific fear that he's, you know, kind of just shown in prior years. And then Oakland, I mean, Terry, you just name dropped a lot of people that have the ability to be the best hitter on a lot of teams in the American League, period, or Major League Baseball, and they all happen to be playing in Oakland. And three or four of them all have the ability of taking their game up even further. I don't remember if you mentioned Jack Wilson or not. Did you mention Wilson?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so Wilson's another one, too, that I'm going to be keeping another tab on, too. So my three teams, Yankees, Athletics, Royals, in that order.
Yeah, the wild card was definitely the toughest one to kind of settle down and figure out what the three were really going to be. I've got something similar to Charlie, but for me, it's Red Sox, Blue Jays, Royals. I don't have the Yankees making the playoffs this year, and I don't have any other team in the West making the playoffs. When you look at like the Rangers, they're a good team on paper, but is Nathan Eovaldi really going to pitch the way he did last year again without getting hurt? Is Jacob DeGrom being able to pitch again without getting hurt? I doubt it. And those are like their top two pitchers. After that, they're relying on Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, who haven't really proven they can do it at the big league level. And they really haven't added to that lineup at all. So I'm not a believer in the Rangers. I'm not a believer in the Astros because, again, like I said earlier, it's like they're getting older and they're just losing pieces off their roster every single year. So, you know, Altuve is a great player, but he's starting to show his age a little bit, unfortunately, because he's one of my favorite players in the league. But that's just the reality of it. And I don't believe in their manager and the leadership there. So I just think Royals, Red Sox, Blue Jays all kind of have a similar, you know, advantage in that they've got good rotations with solid lineups that, you know, maybe on paper they're not like knocking you over. I mean, the Blue Jays have a pretty good lineup, but it's really just Vladdy in the middle and then a couple of nice pieces. Addison Barger is a good young player that's getting better and better for them. Ernie Clement is kind of one of those, you know, journeyman veterans that's kind of found his place, but, you know, he's a good player too. So I just think those are the three most balanced teams after the ones that win the division. So in terms of order, I'd say I'd go Blue Jays first wild card, Red Sox second wild card, Royals third.
So I'm going to go kind of the same way. I'm going to go Blue Jays, Sox. But I am going to take the Rangers as the seventh team. My problem is that a lot of these American League teams stink. I don't believe in the Athletics. Very young team. I would think they're going to continue to get better, but they're not going to, in my opinion, make the playoffs this year. I think the Central's terrible. There's just so many questions, teams that aren't really trying to get better. So of the kind of mishmash of teams that are left, I'm going to take the Rangers. I don't have a lot of like faith in it, but that's just where I'm going.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Blue Jays as the first wild card. I just think they're, even though I think they've lost in some spots, I just think they're still too talented. I'm actually going to go with the Rangers as the next wild card just for the fact that their division is just absolutely a dumpster fire outside of the Tigers. And I have the Sox squeaking in the last wild card spot.
I have the Yankees, Blue Jays, and Rangers. I thought I might be the only one sneaking them in, but I have similar concerns with the rotation, but they did pick up Brandon Nimmo, which I think will, in a sneaky way, be a good pick. Wyatt Langford, I think, will continue his upward trend. Hopefully Seager doesn't get injured. Jake Berger, I think, is a very productive first baseman. So we'll see. And don't knock Jack Leiter too bad. I mean, he did have a 3.86 ERA last year with 148 strikeouts. So not terrible for a number four starter. And then, so I've got the Red Sox missing the playoffs. I do have them at 82 wins. I'm not sitting here. This isn't like your Bloom era. They're definitely going to be terrible type team. You know, if the stars align, they could certainly make the playoffs, but I hate the lineup, and I think we have a manager who's not going to be able to get out of his own way. So that's why I don't have them in it. I have the Astros, Athletics, Tigers, and Guardians all missing. The AL Central is the land of all pitching, no offense. So they got to start building up their rotations, and then we'll start taking them seriously.
I'm going with a fun one here. As much as I really wanted to include the Royals, as I alluded to last time, I really like a lot of members of that team. I just couldn't help it. I am going with an all AL East wild card. The Yankees, the Red Sox, and the Orioles joining the Blue Jays in what's probably just going to piss off two-thirds of the nation. It's funny because when it comes to these three teams, I like them all. I don't love them. There's some glaring holes, and I think that when it comes to the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Orioles, these are all kind of teams that are built to win in the regular season, more so in the postseason when games are really on the line. With the Yankees, you have overall a fairly solid rotation and bullpen and a Judge-centered offense that I can't really bet against. With the Red Sox, you have a Crochet-Suarez 1-2 punch and a pretty deep rotation that not only is going to feed itself in lieu of injuries, but is also going to potentially survive some bullpen injuries. The offense is pretty much going to get floated by it, is my prediction. We are one Roman Anthony away from this offense completely falling apart, I'm afraid. But at the end of the day, run prevention is important, and the Red Sox are built for that. And when it comes to the Orioles, they're kind of the inverse. I think this is an offense that is going to carry a pretty weak pitching staff. You have, of course, Henderson, who is just a perennial all-star, and the addition of Alonso joining a pretty solid supporting cast. So I really wanted to, you know, put the Royals in there, but I just couldn't resist it. I think the Red Sox and the Orioles are going to eke them out in that regard. So now each of us has stated our six winners for the American League, the division winners, the wild card winners. That will be the postseason picture. Let's go on to an award. Let's start it off with the AL MVP. Charlie, what's your prediction?
Well, I talked about him earlier, and I'm going to go a little bit outside the box. I don't know if anyone else is going to have him here, but I think this is someone that has 40-40-40 power, 40 doubles, 40 homers, 40 stolen bases. He has the ability of hitting 300, although I'm not sure if he will. He can walk a lot. I hope to see the strikeout numbers go down, the walk numbers go up. He's got 100 runs, 200 hits written all over him. That's Julio Rodriguez. And I think playing for Seattle is going to offer a lot of opportunity for knocking in runs. It's going to, scoring runs, hitting extra base hits, and just doing damage. This guy has MVP written all over him. I don't know if Cal Raleigh is going to come close to replicating what he did, but if he's hitting in front of Cal Raleigh, dude, he's going to be scoring a lot. And he's going to be drawing a lot of walks and hopefully stealing a lot of bases. That's my pick.
I really badly wanted to pick someone like that, like a Julio Rodriguez or Bobby Witt Jr., who I think is an incredible player, Gunnar Henderson, who I've always been a fan of, or even like a Cal Raleigh, right, who came close last year and just, you know, got edged out by Aaron Judge. I'm going to pick Aaron Judge because until he shows that he's going to slow down even a little bit in the regular season, and remember, it's a regular season award. So yeah, he chokes in the playoffs and he chokes in the World Baseball Classic, but he's probably going to hit 65 homers again this year or whatever. He's going to have over 100 ribbies, and he's going to hit, 300 around there. his WAR is going to be off the charts. It's just until he shows that he's going to slow down even a little bit, I don't know how you can pick anyone else. So a lot of good players to choose from, and I think it will be an interesting race, but I'm picking Aaron Judge again. It's hard not to.
So, Jason, you just completely robbed my take. Cal Raleigh is the guy that people kind of all root for. Great nickname, Big Dumper. But it's going to be really hard to replicate those numbers while catching 130 games. And so I just don't see that as viable. I would love to kind of go and pick a name and make a case for somebody, but he's the best player in the American League, and he has been for quite some time. So luckily, this is not a hitting in the clutch in postseason award. Over 162, if he stays healthy, it's his award to lose. He's going to hit 60 home runs. He's a maniac regular season player. And by the way, going back to my take as the Yankees winning the division, he's a big reason why, obviously. So I'm going to go Aaron Judge as well.
Yeah, I tried to think of a way to creatively come up with someone else other than Aaron Judge, and I just can't. Because the reality is that I try and think, like, who could have a season like Cal Raleigh did last year? You know, maybe there's someone out there that could have a better batting average, but the rest of the metrics, I don't see it. And he didn't beat Aaron Judge, even though some of us felt like he should have. So for that reason, until he proves he can't win, or I should say can't perform in the regular season, I'm picking him to win it.
All right, well, I'll take a shot at it. I'm going to go with a guy who is 6'5", bats lefty, 40 home run power.
Jeremy.
120 ribbies power. Sounds like I'm about to say Tristan Casas.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Jeremy.
But no.
You're righty, unfortunately.
So, this guy steals two bags a year, which would also, you know, support the Casas theory. But I'm going to go with Nick Kurtz. You know, the dude had a 173 OPS plus last year. He's got a ballpark that's going to be very favorable towards an MVP type campaign. And it's kind of a shot in the dark, but I certainly think if he doesn't win it, he'll be, you know, he could be a top two or three guy in the final voting.
My MVP kind of goes hand in hand with that final wild card I handed out. I am going to give this one to Gunnar Henderson, who I think is just one of the few players poised to potentially dethrone Judge. You have the shortstop position, which WAR loves, of course, and you have a bat that is quite frankly ridiculous. This dude finished 8th in MVP voting in 23, 4th in 24, and took a step back last year. That step back, that down year, was worth 5.3 B WAR, 4.8 F WAR. The guy's just ridiculous. He's not even 25 years old yet. He's going into what will be his fourth full season, fifth season in general in baseball. And I just love everything I see about the guy, both in the field and behind the plate, or at the plate, rather. I think that if anyone is going to jump and dethrone Judge, it's either going to be him or Bobby Witt. But I have the Orioles making the playoffs and not the Royals. So I've got to give the edge to Henderson. Now, with the MVP out of the way, which is not strictly an offensive award, but obviously it's an offensive award at this point in the game, let's switch over to pitching. Who is going to be the American League Cy Young winner?
Yeah, I think everyone knows where I'm going on this one. After getting robbed in 2025, it's Garrett Crochet. I know he hasn't been doing great so far in spring training, but I think this guy has a massive chip on his shoulder to try to prove to everybody that I'm playing for the team that's not going to be as prolific, as lethal, as powerful, as just maybe as exciting to watch. I don't know. Depends on how much of a Tigers homer some people are. I think it's Crochet. This guy should win 20 plus games a year. He's got the Cliff Lee, Jacob DeGrom effect that when he comes in, everyone forgets to hit sometimes. And it's so infuriating and pisses me off. I mean, I can't tell you how many times he registered a no decision or a loss in a game in which his team generated two runs or less. I mean, it's just absolutely embarrassing. You just can't do that. And, you know, if you can actually score runs for somebody like this, you're going to go far. Yeah, so Crochet, easy.
Yeah, Crochet was one I definitely thought about. I mean, him and Scooble kind of jump out as like the top two, you know, that you might pick from. The only thing I worry about with Crochet is, you know, he pitched more than he ever has in his career last season, and he's poised to do it again this year. I just worry about there being a little bit of burnout. I'm not telling you he's going to get hurt or that he's going to completely fall apart in the second half. I just think I could see his second half being not as sharp and just some things kind of faltering. And I do think the run support's going to be an issue, right? Because we have issues with this Red Sox lineup. So he might have a lot more no decisions this year as well. Scooble is a strong choice, but I'm actually going to go a little off the board. I'm going to go with Terry's guy, Brian Wu. I think he's on the best team in the league. He won 15 games last year, sub-3 ERA, nearly 200 strikeouts. He's a big strikeout guy. He doesn't walk guys. The big thing for him will be health. Can he stay healthy for 30-plus starts? If he can do that with that Mariners team, with how just absolutely stacked it is, he could win 16, 17 games. And, you know, if he keeps that ERA down, keeps, you know, just striking guys out left and right, I think he could make a very strong case. And obviously, I have Seattle, you know, winning their division, going to the playoffs. So I think that'll be a big factor in it too. So I'm going with Brian Wu.
So this comes down to Crochet versus Scooble for me. It's not just the arsenal, it's the competitor in these two guys, make them the clear cut two best guys in the AL. The reason why I'm going to go Scooble, I also picked him last year and I was right, is the contract year. He's just the ultimate competitor. And obviously our lineup's flawed. I think the Tigers is too. So I don't, you know, this isn't a wins and loss award. This is an ERA whip, big moment type of thing. And no one's better than Scooble in those moments. So if it wasn't a contract year, he already has been paid like Crochet has been paid, I might be answering this question differently, but he's going to do everything he can to get the biggest pitcher's deal. The other thing is we don't know what the offer's been, but he's obviously gambling on himself to go into his last year without a lucrative deal in place. So that type of competitor, that stuff, big game pitcher, betting on himself in a contract year, look out, man. He's going to dominate.
Yeah, Jeremy kind of just stole my take there. Well done, Jeremy. But
thanks, pal.
Yeah. The thing is, I agree. I think that if both Scooble and Crochet both had their money already, I think Crochet and his desire to prove everyone wrong would drive him to get the Cy Young. But, I mean, Tarik Skubal's got 400 million reasons why he wants that Cy Young to prove to teams. So, I mean, it's hard to, with the money on the line, it's hard for me to not see that Skubal is going to take it. But would it shock me if it's Crochet? Absolutely not.
If Garrett Crochet pitched in the AL Central, I'd probably pick him. But Tarik Skubal does pitch in the AL Central, so I have to go with him. It's almost not even fair. It's like Crochet has to go to war with China, and Skubal gets to go to war with a third world country. You know, it's not a fair fight. So, and I do, like Jason said, I have kind of expected Crochet to, you know, take a, I think there'll be a little bit of regression this year. Nothing major. But I don't know. I mean, Tarik Skubal is probably the best pitcher of this generation. And I put Scherzer, Verlander in the previous generation, despite the fact that they're still hanging on. But yeah, it's hard to pick against him.
For me, I have the Cy Young 2 becoming the Cy Young 1. I am going with Garrett Crochet on this. You know, a lot of the factors, funnily enough, that would push some people away from picking Crochet this year are going in his favor for me. I mean, I like the fact that he was stretched out last year. Could it be that the workload was too much and we're going to see some regression? Absolutely. Could it be that he proved to the world that he's a 200 innings type of guy? Yeah, you know, it could go either way. Youth is a factor here. Obviously, Tarik Skubal, only 29 years old, not old by any means, not even for a pitcher. But I'm going with the 26-year-old. This dude has just been getting better year after year, coming out of virtually nowhere in 2024, switching his pairs of socks around and putting up really a Cy Young-worthy performance last year that just wasn't quite good enough. This year, I've got to give it to the guy. I think Crochet is going to carry that edge with him. He's a competitor, and I think the Red Sox need something to celebrate. Now, that wraps it up for the American League. We have our division winners, our award winners. Before we switch over to the National League, Doug could not be on the show tonight, and he did send in his picks. So for the division winners, he had the Blue Jays, Tigers, and Mariners winning the division. For the wild card, he has the Yankees, Red Sox, and Royals. Meanwhile, as for the awards, he has Bobby Witt winning MVP, which, funnily enough, me and Henderson, our picks were identical, me to him. I had Henderson and the Orioles, making it into the postseason. He has Witt and the Royals. And then for Cy Young, he is also going with Garrett Crochet. Now, let's start it again from the top. Let's hop over from American League to National League, starting with the East. Who's going to win it?
Yeah, this is a sport where the more money you pay, the better players come to play. And I think it's the Mets, man. I mean, you just can't spend this kind of money 2 years in a row and just not have it pay out for you. The Mets are, I mean, they've also gone all in here. I mean, you went in, you spent a boatload of money for Juan Soto. You still have Francisco Lindor on a crazy deal. Bo Bichette is now playing for your team. So you've taken a major piece away from Toronto. Marcus Semien is there now, and people forgot about that move. I'm curious to see if Francisco Alvarez can take it a step further this year. I really, really am curious. And they have a young rookie named Nolan McLean that a lot of people also don't know about. And I think people are going to hear his name soon. Cody Senga, if he can stay healthy and not have that blip like he did at the end of the year, I really think that this is the only direction for this team to go is up. They've improved in multiple areas. This team is insane. So I didn't even mention Luis Robert being there either. I forgot he's over there. Mets, easy.
Yeah, it's another pretty competitive division. I think the Phillies will be right along there with the Mets, competing for the division lead. But I'm going to give it to the Mets as well. They just added so much. I mean, and people forget they had a Freddy Peralta too. Like, they've got a legit ace in there now. So you had him, you had Bo Bichette. The only thing that the Mets might suffer from is I think defensively they're going to stink because they got Bo Bichette playing third base, Jorge Polanco playing first. Like, I think defensively it's going to be a little bit of a mess over there, but they're also going to score 10 runs a game. So who cares, right? If they are the worst defensive team in the National League, that's fine. They're probably still going to win their division. Rotation's really good. Bullpen, I don't love Devin Williams replacing Edwin Diaz. I think that's a disaster waiting to happen. But again, they're going to score a ton of runs, so they probably don't need the best closer in the league. That offense is just going to go crazy. And, again, Philly is good. I think Philly still has a better rotation, but again, their roster kind of aging a little bit, and maybe their window is starting to close. Atlanta, their entire rotation is in shambles right now. I mean, Chris Sale is like their healthiest starter, and that's a big problem if that's the case. Like, Spencer Strider's got an oblique thing. They're not going to have Schwellenbach this year. Reynaldo Lopez, his velocity's been down all spring. They don't know why. So I think Atlanta's in for a rough season, at least pitching-wise. And obviously the Marlins stink, and the rest of that division don't really need to get into. So, yeah, I think it's the Mets division this year.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a loser franchise. The Mets are going to find some hilariously pathetic way to just fall apart in the biggest moment. So I can't predict that, because with that organization, you don't know what it's going to be. So for me, it's still the Phillies division. They won the division last year by 13 games. They are getting older, but Dombrowski's still running the show. And one thing I know about that guy is if they have a hole, he'll fill it, and he won't wait for the deadline. So the Philadelphia Phillies will be a better team at the end of the year than they are starting the year. And Dombrowski's going to keep them in contention. They could have a major injury in the rotation. He'll go fill it. They could have a bat go down. He'll go fill it. So I'm not worried. I don't consider Philadelphia a contender for the World Series. I do think they're getting older. But to me, it's still their division. And they won it by such a large margin last year. I don't think any one team has closed the gap enough. And really, to me, it's a two-team division.
Yeah, I struggled with this one, going back and forth between the Mets and the Phillies. And there's a part of me that thinks that Jeremy's right, that the Mets just always find a way to blow it, and that it is a pretty big gap. I forgot it was even 13 games. But I do think that the Mets on paper are just more talented at this point, especially when you take age as a factor. But I do think that the Mets will find a way to make this an absolute disaster season. I don't know when and where. More than likely the playoffs, but I do have them winning the division at this point.
I am going with my upset special. So here it is. I have one every year. I'm taking the Atlanta Braves to win the National League East. And I hear everybody's concerns about the rotation. You're kind of hoping for the best with Chris Sale. He has been healthy all through camp, though. Spencer Strider, I think, is going to take a step forward. And his biggest hangup in the previous year is all he had was a fastball. And it's not going to be like 100 miles an hour anymore. It's going to be probably in the 95, 96 mile an hour range. But he needed time to work on the secondary stuff. And he's looked good in camp, and I think he's finally going to take a step forward with that. I don't know what to expect with Reynaldo Lopez. He did not have a great season. Grant Holmes, solid middle of the rotation guy. They did, for what it's worth, add Lucas Giolito today. So I don't know what to expect from him, but if you can give him a chance to win every time out, that's pretty good. And then you still have Matt Olson, quietly one of the best first basemen in all Major League Baseball. Ozzie Albies, Austin Riley. They will get Haesung Kim back probably in May or June. They have complimentary bats like Mike Yastrzemski, Michael Harris II, who surprisingly was kind of on the fringe of some of the MVP top fives. And, of course, you have Ronald Acuna Jr., and Sean Murphy expected to DH. So if the Mets are the circus that, they absolutely can be, and the Phillies are just kind of that aging team, didn't really add a bat outside of Adolis Garcia, which, he's not a high on base guy. He's a big strikeout guy. I hope the best for him. I've always liked him. He the World Series year, he was phenomenal with the Rangers, but for some reason, I think the Braves are just going to quietly get it done.
For me, I am going with the Phillies. It was between them and the Mets for me, but at the end of the day, I just could not argue for a Dombrowski team like this. They are getting older, but I cannot see them losing out. I think the Mets are going to find a way, That rotation is ridiculous. You have Sanchez, Lizardo, Nola, and if healthy, Wheeler for just a ludicrous potential playoff run. You have Duran with Alvarado set to back him up in the pen. This team just screams pitching to me. And at the end of the day, even though these guys have been around for a while, Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, Kyle Schwarber, these guys are still going to produce. This may be a closing window, but I do still think it's wide open. Let's go from the East to the Central. Who do you have winning it?
Yeah, so for this one, it's going to be another boring pick because I think it's going to be a lot of people saying the same thing. But I think the Chicago Cubs have this one as well. I think the Central is a tough division. If you look at the other teams that are in there, some of them are borderline irrelevant. Like, I don't think the Cardinals, they're like the National League Athletics or the White Sox. They're just there, but no one really cares about them. They're going to be pretty ridiculous. There are a couple sleeper options, but I'm not picking Chicago because I think, Alex Bregman is there. They're going to do better. I think that they have one of the most exciting young talents and someone who should be gracing the cover of the show. PCA, Pecro Armstrong, one of the coolest baseball names, and also probably the next 40-40 National League player. I think he has the ability to hit 40 home runs, steal 40 bases. He can hit over, he could definitely hit over 300 in the future too. This kid's like 23, 24 years old. Like, this is the future for them. You have Ian Happ there. Nico Horner's all right, whatever. Michael Bush has 30 home run power, so we'll see what happens there. I don't mind their rotation. I think Justin Steele is going to come back and do better than he's done in the past 2 years combined after injuries have kind of decimated his last two seasons. But I like him. I like Horton. I think they have a decent bullpen. They've added the right pieces. I just don't think another team is going to be as potent as the Cubs here.
Yeah, much like the American League Central, the NL Central is full of a lot of dog food. It's really just the Cubs and maybe this year the Pirates. Those might be the two best teams. I mean, Milwaukee's still there, but Milwaukee kind of showed you they don't care about winning anymore. They just let the race just go. Like, so, you know, but they still got some talent. Jackson Churio's still a really good player. Christian Yelich might have some years left in him, but who knows? He's always getting hurt and always kind of coming up short in the big moments. I'm going to give it to the Cubs as well. I just think they're the most well-rounded team in that division. You know, I agree with Charlie. PCA is going to have a monster year. He's going to be getting MVP votes for sure in the National League. And he's going to be a top three, top five MVP guy. Cause he is the five tool player. He's got speed. He can play defense. He can hit power. He can do it all. I liked the Alex Bregman addition. I said at the time that contract's going to probably bite them in the ass in a couple of years, but not this year. I think he'll be a good addition for them this year. Really good addition to that lineup. And they've got a lot of power in there. It's not just PCA. It's, you know, you mentioned Michael Bush. He has a lot of power in his bat. Seiya Suzuki took a big step forward last year. I think he'll have another big year this year as well. And that bullpen, they've probably got, if not the best closer, if it's, you know, the best closer is Andrés Muñoz with Seattle. Chicago might have the second best one with this Palencia kid who pitched in the WBC. He is absolutely electric. So they've got a solid rotation, good bullpen, and a really good lineup. And that division, just there's a lot of joke teams in there. So I think the Cubs should win it pretty easily.
Well, I have a little bit of a different take on the division. I mean, so this was the Central had three playoff teams last year. Pittsburgh kind of tried for the first time in two decades this offseason. They have the absolute best arm in baseball, who's still extremely young. Cincinnati's a fun team to watch. Managed by Terry Francona, who's still, to me, one of the top managers in the game. And Milwaukee's not going to win 97 games, but I don't think they're going to go to, you know, 84. I do think it's the Cubs, but I think it's a fun division. I think there's teams that are going to be fun to watch. There's going to win a lot of games. The only team that really isn't trying is Seattle because they're run behind Bloom, which means they're trying to turn themselves into the Devil Rays. So they're a joke and can be relegated to the Arizona Fall League as far as I'm concerned. But I'll go Cubs for a lot of the reasons you guys are saying, including the fact that they're trying to continue to build the roster and get better. And if they're even slightly better, that puts them in mid-90s for wins and wins the division.
You meant St. Louis, right? Not Seattle.
Yeah, St. Louis. Sorry.
Yeah, okay, cool. Just making sure. I was like, holy crap.
No, Seattle's really good. St. Louis is terrible.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling me out on that, Charlie. Appreciate that.
Hey, man. Yeah. We had Terry saying the Red Sox and Yankees in the World Series a week ago. So something like that, right?
Not even the 60th dumbest thing I've ever said, but yeah, it's fine.
I got
so the Central Division in both leagues is by far the weakest. I think the difference is, to Jeremy's point, the NL Central is a fun division, whereas the AL Central is really like a two-team race at best. I wanted to say, oh, it's definitely the Cubs, but when you really look at the Milwaukee Brewers, it seems like every year they lose some of this. So they lost Peralta this offseason, but the year before that, they lost Corbin Burnes and Willy Adames, and they still found a way to win the NL Central both those years. So I don't think it's a foregone conclusion it's the Cubs. We shouldn't just write them off as far as the Brewers. However, I do think when there is a team that's clearly trying to win, which the Cubs are, and a team like the Brewers who are just, you know, kind of relying on the fact they think they're somehow the Astros of the NL Central, but without the pedigree of actually getting it done when it comes to the playoffs, that's a dangerous game to play. So for that reason, I am going to give it to the Cubs because I think right now they're just trying harder. And again, you can't play with fire too many times and not get burnt if you're the Brewers.
Who has the best rotation? The Cubs. Who has the best lineup? The Cubs. Who am I picking? The Brewers. I don't call it Murphy magic. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but they just shove it down our throats every time we all pick against them. I am surprised no one's given the Reds any love here. It'll be Francona's second shot at an epic comeback, but I don't know. The Brewers just are fearless and they get it done.
For me, I've got to go back to the Cubs. This is a team that I think is really poised to make an impact at the deadline for themselves. I think if they add some front of the rotation or front of the pen level talent on the pitching side, the offense and defense has them completely covered. I mean, this is a team that has Alex Bregman joining a ridiculous offensive core, Michael Busch, Ian Happ, Seiya Suzuki. And you're adding a pretty solid third baseman to an already good defensive infield. The Cubs, they are managed well. They hit when they have to. They pitch when they have to. And I think that they're one move away from potentially becoming the dominant division in the the team in the National League, aside from the obvious, right? Also, it's funny that I disrespect the Mets previously. I find a way to disrespect them even now. I still can't get over PCA involved in that horrible Javi Baez trade. I mean, come on. Let's not forget that the Mets gave that guy up. Every time I think about prospects the Red Sox have wasted, I'll always remember PCA's name. Now, with both the East and the Central out of the way, let's just get the National League West out of the way on the count of three. One, two, three.
Dodgers.
This team is easy. Ridiculous. They've added Kyle Tucker and Edwin Diaz to an already stacked roster. Shohei Ohtani, Yamamoto, the list goes on. I could sit here reading probably all 26 players, maybe even all 40 on their 40-man roster, and just sing their praises. So let's get them out of the way and get right into the interesting bit, which is going to be the National League wild card.
Yeah, so this is going to be pretty boring. I think there's going to be a lot of repeat business on this one, too. I couldn't say Philly earlier, and that's because I'm saving them for the NL one spot right here. Kyle Schwarber, I'm really curious to see how much better he gets or if he plateaus at around 60 homers under 2,530 RBIs, hit 250, whatever. Your rotation is Christopher Sanchez, Zeus Luzardo, Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, and I think Andrew Painter. I don't know if I might be wrong, but that's just dumb. And that's not the team that spent the most amount of money in the National League. That's just those guys. You know that Schwarber signed 5 for $150, so he's getting $30 million per. Dumb money. This team also has Trey Turner, Bryce Harper, JT Realmuto, who's also getting older, and a couple of other friends. You got Head and Shoulders, what's his name? Brandon Marsh. This team is just insane. So I got Philly winning one. Terry, for all the reasons you couldn't pick Chicago winning the Central, I'm going to pick your Brewers second. They always do somehow find a way. They're just not the Chicago Cubs. And then third, some people are probably going to pick the Giants. I'm actually going Padres here. I think they have the best bullpen in baseball. They have a better bullpen than the Dodgers do. And they're bringing back a lot of familiar names. And I think that Jackson Merrill is, unfortunately, not the most exciting young star in Major League Baseball because PCA plays for the Cubs. I think that Jackson Merrill can also take a step up for the Padres. And then for that reason, I'm going to put Padres in the third slot. So I got Phillies, Brewers, Pods.
So I'll go the same with you on the Phillies. I have them as the first wild card. I think they're second best team in the East. Even though I did state before they are an aging team, I think their window is closing, but it's not closed yet. They still have a lot of good veterans on that team. That rotation is really solid, as you pointed out. And I agree with Jeremy's point that if Philly needs something at the deadline, Dave Dombrowski is going to go get it. So that's not a team that's going to sit on their hands at the trade deadline if they're in the middle of a race. So got the Phillies one. I agree with you on the Padres. I have them as a second wild card. That bullpen is just disgusting. I mean, if if they're up, you know, in the late innings, forget about it. You know, that kind of reminds you of like that 2015 Royals World Series team where the starters only had to go like five innings because the rest of it was just that nasty bullpen they had. And it led them all the way to a World Series. So no reason San Diego can't get to the playoffs or something like that. For the third wild card, I'm going to go a little off the board. This is kind of my upset or surprise special, if you want. I'm going with the Pirates. I actually really like what the Pirates have done with some of the guys they've added to the roster. Some former Red Sox are over there, Nick York and the Password. Their rotation is actually really good. It's not just Skeens. Mitch Keller is a really good young pitcher. He had a good year last year. They're going to get Jared Jones back at some point. He's another really good young arm for them. You know, they added Jose Urquidy just for, you know, for depth purposes, but he's a good veteran option. Bubba Chandler is another top prospect arm of theirs that's going to probably make his way onto the big league roster. I think he actually made the team out of spring. So their rotation's really good. Their bullpen's okay. But also on offense, they've got the number one prospect in baseball waiting in the wings. He didn't make the team out of camp, but he'll be on that roster by May or June. It's Connor Griffin, the shortstop. He is their Roman Anthony. So you add him to that lineup with a rotation led by Paul Skeens. You know, who knows? Maybe the Pirates decide to do something at the deadline as well. Maybe they feel like they're in it and they feel like they can make a move. Maybe they do something. I don't know. But I think they will be a bit of a surprise team this year. So I got Phillies, I got the Padres, and I've got the Pittsburgh Pirates as your three wild cards.
So, Jason, I wanted to do the same thing, but another loser franchise. I do think they get to about 500, so I thought about it, but I talked myself out of it. I think they'll have another year where they kind of take that step forward, go from 71 to 82, 81 wins, and then I'd probably be putting them in next year. I also think if they have any chance of re-signing Skeens, which they don't, they got to show him. He's not going to, I think, just sign for the money. I think he's going to want to pitch for a winner. So if they have any chance of keeping him, again, still a complete long shot, but they haven't traded him yet, which is surprising. They got to prove that they're on their ascension and can win. So I'm going in order, Milwaukee, Padres, and I do think the Mets on talent alone back in. I can't wait to see how they blow it in the wild card round, but I do think that there's just some bad teams that aren't trying. And I think the West is going to beat the hell out of each other with the Dodgers underwhelmed last year, only winning 93 games. I think they're going to win 105 games. I think they're the rest of that division will beat themselves up except the Padres. So again, I'm going Brewers, Padres, Mets.
So I've got Brewers as the first wild card. They're in the weakest division. Then I've got the Phillies, just because I was a toss-up between the Mets and the Phillies for me as far as for the division. And then I really wanted to go with the Padres as the third wild card, but I think the division is going to beat the crap out of each other, and I just don't like what their GM is doing. He just does mind-boggling things. He could be tomorrow doing something where he's trading half that roster for absolutely nothing, and it wouldn't shock anyone. So for that reason being, I am actually going to go with the Atlanta Braves, Terry's pick for the NL East winner. To me, they're the exact opposite of a loser franchise. They're a winning franchise, right? Like, they've won World Series. They, even when it looks like they've got nothing, they always have something up their sleeve. Last year seemed to be a little bit of an off year in the mix of, you know, injuries and just underperformance. I think it's a bounce back year for them. I think they find their way back to the playoffs.
So I've got the Phillies and the Cubs taking my first two spots. I mean, I think if they don't win the divisions, they're the clear runner-ups, I would say, in their respective divisions, both 90-plus wins teams. So then of the five teams I could pick for the third spot, Mets, Padres, Diamondbacks, Reds, and the Giants – I'm actually going to give it to the Giants. I like their rotation. Logan Webb, obviously, their longtime ace. Robbie Ray is coming off of a very good year. Tyler Mahle, Adrian Hauser, decent, you know, middle to back end guys, but they've got a pretty good infield. You got Devers at first, Arraez at second, Adames at short, Chapman at third. There's more strikeouts in that group than what I'm comfortable with. But then you've got Elio Ramos out in the outfield, who admittedly I'm not too familiar with, but he did hit 21 home runs last year. drove in 69. And Jung-Hoo Lee isn't a power bat by any means, but he's productive, as is Harrison Bader. Quietly, that's a very well-balanced team, and I don't see why it's not capable of winning 90 games. So I'm going to kind of sneak them into it. Most notably, I have the Mets out of it. I just think it's going to be a circus. I think it's a little bit jarring that Juan Soto potentially isn't the best guy to have in your clubhouse. I don't know if there was issues between him and Lindor last year, or if I'm just making that up. I thought Jason made an excellent point about the defensive concerns, and I don't love their rotation either. It has upside, but I could see it not particularly working out too well. And I think Steve Cohen is toxic as hell. So I've got them missing it. I'd love to see the Reds sneak in there, because I'm always going to have a soft spot for Terry Francona. Padres could certainly have something to say about it. But I think the Giants are finally going to have a good year. Not that long ago, 2021, they won 107 for no particular reason. Only one off from the 2018 Boston Red Sox. But that's how I see it.
For me, I am starting off the NL wild cards with a couple of NL East teams that, you know, some of us picked to win it. I have the Mets and the Braves. These two teams are just really, really, they've got upside at the end of the day. You know, the Braves, I don't love. They've got a lot of injuries in the rotation right now, as we've already pointed out. And they are, you know, one devastating injury. If Chris Sale goes down, I mean, who is their big game pitcher? It's possible it's going to be, you know, a guy like Strider. It's possible it's even going to be a guy like Schwellenbach. But you need these guys to be healthy. You need these guys to stay healthy, and you need them to deliver. But at the end of the day, the Braves do have Acuna, Riley, Harris, Olsen, and Rookie of the Year Drake Baldwin returning, which is just a solid group of guys that I think is really going to elevate them. The Mets, meanwhile, I kind of, just to echo some of the points that were already mentioned before when we were talking about the division winners, this is a machine. They've spent too much money to miss the postseason. I do see there being another New York circus. It seems like we get one every year at this point. The carnival comes to town. But this is a stacked lineup and an organization that has been doing some really interesting things with their pitching lab. It seems like they can turn guys around. And if anyone is going to get Devin Williams back to form, the Mets are a pretty solid choice to do so. And it would be very funny to see him just move over to Queens, you know, a short step away from the Yankees to the Mets, and suddenly get back into vintage form. Although only time will tell if that will happen. As for the third wild card, this was the one that I think I had the most trouble picking. At first, I said the Giants, and then I said, well, maybe it's not going to be the Giants. Maybe it's going to be the Pirates, or maybe it's going to be... Ultimately, I settled on the Brewers. This is a team that, similarly, they don't have the wow factor on offense at the end of the day, but they do have some solid guys. I'm a big fan of Bryce Terang. Contreras still has a lot of juice in the tank, and again, sort of similar to the Mets, that is an organization that just seems to figure its pitching out. You have Oribe and McGill in the pen. You have Woodruff and company. It seems like, you know, Priester, they turned around. Maybe they'll do the same to Harrison and figure these guys out. If they can use their pitching staff to as effective a level as it theoretically could be, push it to the ceiling, then this is going to be a dangerous team. Maybe not a huge deep threat in the postseason, but at the end of the day, if you're able to keep the opponent's runs low, you're going to win a lot of baseball games. And I agree. I think that the division overall is kind of up for grabs. You have some bad teams sort of padding the others. So now that we have the wild cards out of the way, all of our locks for the division picks, we will go back around to awards, and we'll kick it off with the National League MVP.
I want to pick PCA. I think he's the most exciting young talent name. But I have thoughts, and I struggle, because there also just so happens to be quite possibly the greatest baseball player over the last 100 years playing in our generation of baseball, and that's Shohei Ohtani. Shohei is going to continue winning MVP awards until he's like you guys mentioned, for Aaron Judge until he's proven to you that he can no longer do it. He has been a top two name for MVP the last 5 years, and he's won it 4 of the last 5 years. He will win it another minimum 5 times before his career is over. He's the only player that can hit 50 home runs and strike out 200 guys possibly in the same season, which is absolutely unprecedented. And he's that good. He's that talented. So Shohei Ohtani, done.
Yeah, much like Charlie, I can't not pick Ohtani. It is very similar to the Aaron Judge conversation. It's just until Ohtani shows you that he's going to slow down at all, the award is his to lose at this point. And look, there are some players that are, you know, interesting picks. If you wanted to go off the board from Ohtani, like Acuna is a solid pick. I agree. PCA is going to have a big year. Just for the sake of laughter, I would love for Rafael Devers to win an MVP out in San Francisco, just for the schadenfreude of it. But I don't think that's going to happen. It's going to be Shohei. He's going to have another, you know, 40 homers, 40 stolen bases, combine that with what he does on the mound. It's just, I don't know how anyone's going to be able to stack up. So Shohei Ohtani for me.
Yeah, I mean, absent an injury, it's Shohei's award. And here's the problem for anybody coming in close is if it's close, it's going to Shohei. He's that important to baseball, not just domestically, but internationally. So if it's like a Cal Raleigh Judge situation was last year in the AL, it's going to be Shohei. So you don't have to outperform him. It has to be by a significant margin, and I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, barring injury, and honestly, depending on what the injury is, I mean, because Shohei Ohtani's been injured and still won the MVP, right? He didn't pitch, he just won it as a hitter. And that's the advantage he has over a guy like Judge, right? Because if Judge gets hurt, like, all bets are off. But Ohtani can get hurt and still hit 50 home runs and just not pitch and still be the MVP. And, you know, to everything that Jeremy just said, like, the MLB, unlike most other sports leagues, embraces the big markets, right? Like, every other league is, like, trying to find a way to give an MVP to a small market to try and really lift the other teams in the league that aren't getting the amount of viewership. But the MLB is like, no, screw it. Yankee and Dodger, let's give them the MVP any way we can. Even if it's close, it's going to them. They're in their glory right now. It's going to be Ohtani.
Well, I'm going to be the non-boring one.
You can't and, help himself. I knew it.
It's probably going to be Shohei, but I'm gonna pick it a little differently. I am going to go with Pete Crow Armstrong. Bona fide five-tool player. He won a gold glove last year. He can steal 40 bags. I don't know if he'll quite hit 40 home runs. He did hit 31 last year. But just across the board, he's extremely solid. I'd like to see the batting average come up a little bit. I think he ended at like 247. But I don't know. I mentioned Seattle's like the party town. That's where the vibes are. And I think Chicago for the Cubs is getting there. And we did not mention the White Sox one single time, and I don't expect they're going to really do anything this year, but they're closer than a lot of people think. They've got a great farm. They got a nice young core of guys already on the big league roster. But yeah, I don't know. There's just something vibing about Chicago. And I'll take PCA.
I think if anyone is going to dethrone the favorite, PCA is the best bet. But, you know, I hate to go back to it. It's Shohei Ohtani's award to lose. I mean, I mentioned before that the MVP predominantly is an offensive award, and thus it's very rare for a pitcher to win it. It's also very rare for a DH to win it. Typically, you need some defense in there to sort of offset. You know, when you have a guy who does both at such an elite level, it is ridiculous. This guy is an absolute war machine just as a DH. The bat is that good. He's one of the best pure hitters in the league, up there with Aaron Judge, at times better than Aaron Judge, in the clutch better than Aaron Judge. But when you put him on the mound, especially with the Shohei rule in the MLB set to maximize this guy's value, the dude is just going to go out there and produce every single day. Barring injury, it's Shohei Ohtani. He'll win his fourth in a row, fifth overall. And I don't disagree with you, Charlie, when you say he's going to win five more. I don't think that that's ridiculous. The guy is a machine. He's a beast. And at the end of the day, I mean, we're getting pretty close to naming the award the Shohei Award. Now, with the MVP out of the way, let's go over to the Cy Young. Who is the best pure pitcher in the National League going to be?
So I know a lot of people are going to say Paul Skenes. And Paul Skenes suffers from Jacob deGrom syndrome, playing for, I don't know why Terry's laughing right now, but here we go. I think that Paul Skenes could very much end up being a guy who goes 11 and 10 or 11 and 9, strikes out 200 plus guys, has an ERA north of 2 and whatever. But my pick for this one's going to be someone I talked about over a year ago, and that's Christopher Sanchez. The guy led WAR last year. He had an 8 WAR last year, 13-5 record. His ERA dropped down almost a full run per 9. So he finished up the year, he hasn't missed a game in 2 seasons, 2.5 ERA, had 212 strikeouts in 202 innings. Even if, for example, he goes up maybe 10% in both of those categories, he's still going to be joining the 200-200 club. I think he has the capability of winning 18 to 20 games. He's on the Philadelphia Phillies. This team is absolutely insane. And if he can get even better, drop that ERA a little bit further, be more effective with his pitches, throw less waste pitches, yeah, you're looking at someone who could throw 210, 220 innings and strike out over 250 guys, sub 250 ERA and win 20 games. Chris Sanchez, that's my guy.
Yeah, I agree with your point about Paul Skenes. Unfortunately, I mean, I have the Pirates in the playoffs, but I don't have them going very far, and a lot of people have them out of the playoffs. So that's going to really hurt his Cy Young chances. He'd have to do what Felix Hernandez did in 2010, where he was 13-12, and I don't think the Mariners were a playoff team that year, but he had, you know, crazy numbers, ERA of 2.2, you know, pitched 250 innings, struck out 240 guys. Paul Skenes is going to have to do something like that if he wants to win the Cy Young, and I don't foresee it. The guy that I'm going to pick is Yoshinobu Yamamoto. I think he's the best pitcher on that Dodgers staff. Had a really good year last year. And obviously, the Dodgers are going to be the best team in the National League. So he's going to have run support. He's going to be pitching well into October. I just think, you know, he can give you 220, 230 innings. He'll probably win 14, 15 games. He'll strike out over 200 guys. He's just nasty. He's got absolutely nasty stuff. And he's on the best team in the league. So Yamamoto is my pick.
So normally I would agree with your guys' assessment on Paul Skenes, but the Pirates won 71 games last year and he won the Cy Young. We all, I think, agree, and we know Jason does, that the Pirates are going to be better this year than they were last year. He is still 23 years old. He turns 24. I looked it up on May 29th. He is an absolute maniac. Most of these guys at 23 are still in the minor leagues developing. He's still getting better. And with the way he's framed, I expect him to stay healthy. To me, it's his award to lose. He's the best pitcher in baseball, and I think he's going to be for the next 5 or 6 years. I think Skenes wins another Cy Young.
Yeah, everything I just said about the MVP award is the exact opposite with Cy Young. The MLB will give it to anyone. Small market, big market, doesn't matter. But I agree with Jeremy. I do believe that Paul Skenes is the best pitcher in baseball. I do believe he's only going to get better. He is younger. It was a toss-up for me between him and Yamamoto, but I do feel like Yamamoto is almost like Rodman on the 90s Bulls. As long as Shohei Ohtani is there, he is Jordan. And let's just face it, like, he's going to be overshadowed. I mean, unless he literally does what he did in October from the bullpen and just does that all season as a starter, it's hard for me to think that Paul Skenes isn't going to win this award. So I have Paul Skenes.
Only the YouTube crowd will see this, but you see how red this is right here? You see that? Red is good. You know, that's his save on chart.
That's insane.
For Paul Skenes, I have to take.
But
Paul
Perry's Skenes. Picking Chris Sale.
No, I'm not. I hate being boring, you know. Hence my previous dumbass picks. But I'm gonna be smart on this one, and I'm gonna go with Skenes. Honestly, if Shohei Ohtani wasn't a pitcher, I might have picked Paul Skenes to also win the MVP. I'm not kidding. Like, it crossed my mind, but I'm like, I don't, you know. if I go that route, then I have to pick Shohei, and I wanted to pick PCA, so I couldn't pick Skeens. There was a lot of science going on in my head, apparently. But I think he's the best in baseball. You know, it's a relatively favorable division to pitch in, you know, and I admit it, even though I picked the Brewers, I don't love their offense, but I don't think a guy like Skeens is going to have much issues with it. And I watched a couple of interviews during the WBC. That guy talks like he's a 40-year-old that's been around the game for decades. Like I can't find anything that's not impressive about the guy. So anyway, Skeens for me.
Yeah, I'm going to follow it up. Paul Skeens. I mean, this dude, like Jeremy pointed out, still only 23 years old. That is ridiculous. You know, when he debuted, he was a phenom instantly. Finished the season with a 1.96 ERA. But everyone said, well, listen, 22 years old, incredibly impressive, but it was 23 games, 133 innings. Miracles can happen. Let's see what he does in a full season once the league has some footage on him. He went out there and delivered a 1.97 ERA. 0.01 points worse, but with a better ERA plus and FIP. This guy is ludicrous. As Terry pointed out, the Savant chart is completely red. The metrics are unbelievable on this guy. And not only are the metrics ridiculous, the actual on-the-field performance is ridiculous. The dude is simply one of the best baseball pitchers we've ever seen at this point. Obviously, many, many years to go. But he is starting his career off as great as a human being can hope to do so. And I am going to guess that he is going to win his second Cy Young Award, and probably he's poising himself up for many, many more potentially. I mean, this dude could challenge Randy Johnson, you know, by the end of his career with the number of Cy Youngs he has on in his hardware. So that's got to be my pick. I don't see anyone dethroning him.
In Jason's defense, I mean, this is pretty good.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if Skeens' parents forgot to have sex, I mean, we'd all be picking Yamamoto.
there are some fantastic pitchers out there, and it's amazing to see. It's going to make the races interesting. You know, before we go on to the final portion of the episode, I do also have Doug's picks. I wanted to read out. As for the division winners, he has the Mets, Cubs, and Dodgers, being joined by the Padres, Phillies, and Brewers in the postseason. He also has Ohtani and Skeens as the winners. So with all that out of the way, we have our postseason picture predicted, each of us. We have our big awards predicted. Now it is time to go on to the biggest event in baseball. Let's go on to the World Series matchups. Who do you guys have in the World Series this year?
I've got the Toronto Blue Jays going up against the Dodgers. I don't think anybody it's going to be pretty boring for the National League here, guys. I mean, it's going to be a lot of Torontos, probably quite a few Seattles, and it's going to be the Dodgers. But those are my two. Blue Jays, Dodgers.
Yeah, I've also got the Dodgers representing the National League. I just don't see any Cinderella stories in the National League being able to upset the Dodgers. They're just too fully loaded. And on the American League side, I've got the Seattle Mariners. So I've got Mariners versus Dodgers. I just think Seattle's the most complete team in the American League. You know, stated earlier, rotation plus that lineup is just a nasty combo. So I think the two best teams in each league are going to meet up in the World Series. I don't see any upsets.
So the Dodgers win the whole thing. They're too deep. They can suffer injuries. It's not going to matter. They're everywhere. They just have somebody to fill in, and he's on a big contract and he's a big name and he's got years of production. So it's the Dodgers to win the whole thing. This whole thing is about who has the right to get beaten in five games by them. And for me, it could be any number of five teams, of which I include the Red Sox as a fringe candidate, because I think a lot of what's going to happen in the East is health will matter, unlike with the Dodgers. But I agree with Jason. I'm going Mariners, losing five, gentlemen sweep to the Dodgers.
Yeah, I've got the Dodgers winning the whole thing, but interestingly enough, I have them playing the Tigers in the World Series. You know, a lot of times when you look at a team that doesn't really face a path of a ton of resistance, you go, oh, well, they're not really challenged. they're going to get to the postseason, they're going to kind of flub. I just think that they're going to be the healthiest. They're going to have to sustain the least amount of punches in the regular season. All the American League teams that I believe are going to be in the postseason. And for that, and they've got Tarik Skubal. So I think they've got a good as good a chance of anyone. I do think it's going to be the Dodgers, though, in probably five or six.
I've got the Mariners going in the American League. I think they're, again, best rotation. One of the best lineups.
Here we go.
Hang on. I'm gonna
get it right out of my mouth.
I'm gonna get to why I don't have the Dodgers in there. But
he's got Team Italy.
I just think hang on. I'm gonna make it make as best sense as it can. But I want to point out one thing about the Mariners. It just seemed like when Josh Naylor showed up, like he was the missing piece, like in terms of performance, possibly maybe not in terms of leadership, but in terms of presence, I think was really important. And it just changed that whole vibe. And I know we had the Arozarena Raleigh thing, but they've kissed and made up and apparently all is well there. And I still love Randy Arozarena and I would trade for him. But yeah, I do like the Mariners, and I just think that rotation is better equipped to handle it. Let me remind you guys, the Phillies nearly tossed the Dodgers out in the NLDS. And then if it weren't for a cheater, apparently, Rojas, I forget his first name. That's how good he is. Miguel Rojas, maybe. I don't know. I just
No. Not Miguel Ross. That's wrong? The guy who plays for the Dodgers. It's Johan. I think it's Johan Ross. I don't have his name.
He's a cheater. Who cares? I've got the Cubs going. I just feel like they've got the team of destiny. I know it's goofy as hell. I didn't pick them to win the division, but again, balance. I think if they can make a big move at the deadline, I think it'll just bolster them that much more. And by the way, if the Orioles do the same thing, I think they could have something to say about it. It would have to be for a pitcher, most likely. But I forgot to mention that. But still, nonetheless, I've got the Mariners and I got the Cubs. And eventually the Dodgers are going to get fat and happy. Or, you know, they're just going to show up and they're going to be not quite as inspired as years past. And I think they'll be beatable. And look at the 2013 Red Sox that I still consider that to be an upset against Detroit that year. And I don't see why the Dodgers can't be on the wrong end of it.
Hope you're right.
Yeah, definitely. Over in the American League, I also have the Seattle Mariners going to their first World Series in franchise history. I think that this is easily, at least potentially speaking, the best Mariners team since 2001, you know, since Ichiro left. This team is built to win. And over on the National League side, I am not going with the Dodgers. I am going to go with the tail end closing windows Phillies, making it to the World Series. I think that this team has what it takes. I don't think they're done yet. And I think Dombrowski is going to go out there and at least give himself a chance. You know, these teams are almost mirrors to me in the sense that both of them have had some great regular season success. The Phillies almost winning it all just a few years ago. That World Series looked like it was going to go Philadelphia until it ended up going the other way. And it was a heartbreaker. But I mean, both of these teams are built to score runs in big moments, but not just that. I mean, we're talking Wu versus Sanchez, Kirby versus Lizardo, Gilbert versus Wheeler, Castillo versus Nola. Potential for a World Series matchup. That is possibly four just titanic heavyweight bouts with Munoz and Brash and Duran and Alvarado and all these people. They're good pens. And I think that at the end of the day, those two teams are built for the postseason as opposed to some of the guys that I've already discussed. The Orioles, they have flaws. The Red Sox, they have flaws. The Braves, they have flaws. The Phillies and the Mariners, it's hard to really find. I think that if anyone is going to dethrone the Dodgers, it's going to be the Phillies, and I think that they are poised to potentially break the Mariners' hearts come October.
I picked the Phillies last year for those exact reasons. Like, yeah. I'm like, it's the now or never. I think they're sick of losing type pick. But yeah. I've come to one conclusion. I think, as much as Bryce Harper's won me over, his team's just underachieved, and we saw it in the WBC as well. He's like the National League Aaron Judge, a little less choky, but for some reason, they underachieve. But I hope you're right, because I love the Phillies. I do love the Phillies.
You know, I think the last thing I'll say on the Phillies, too, before we sort of wrap up the show, is just that this is a team, I feel like they've just almost had it so many years in a row. They've almost been good enough. And I do just think, like, I cannot see this borderline dynasty closing without a championship. It would be really crazy if 2022, I think it was, is the closest they come to winning it. Now, as for Doug's pick, he actually has a World Series rematch between the Dodgers and the Blue Jays, ending with another Blue Jays defeat. That would be absolutely brutal for Toronto. Almost worse, maybe actually worse than just not making it back, is making it back and losing the exact same way.
I'd love Thank it. You. I hope that the Blue Jays become the Buffalo Bills of the MLB.
I mean, they share a color scheme, and for a time they even shared a city. So, you know, it's just, yeah, we'll see. So there we go. An absolutely massive show for the Bastards of Boston, kicking off the 2026 season officially, opening day just around the corner. We'll see what the Red Sox have in store for us. And what the rest of the league. I think that probably there'll be a lot of upsets along the way. It'll be really interesting to compare our predictions from this episode to the end of year results. So thank you everyone for joining us. We've been almost every host of the Bastards of Boston tuning in tonight. And remember, with the season starting up, I will plug the website again, bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. You can go there and you can read some great articles. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us pretty much anywhere that podcasts are streaming. Make sure to follow us for some real hot takes and what we try to make as objective Red Sox commentary. Have a good one, everyone. And let's go Boston. Let's go baseball. Take care.
Go Sox.